the Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 25th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. More than 644,000 Arizona Latinos are expected to cast their ballot in November. That is a 9.6% increase in Latino voter turnout since 2018, an increase of 77% since 2014.
Those estimates are from the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. Dorian Cal, the group's director of civic engagement research, says the projections are created using trend analysis and historical data, and they don't take into account factors like outreach efforts, which can influence the numbers.
This number can change, right, depending on what happened leading up to the election. And I think one of the biggest factors certainly could be the engagement of the Latino community. Lack thereof or increased engagement.
Cal says their data indicates Latinos are paying attention to the upcoming election, but states many Latinos said they had not been contacted by any party, campaign, or organization. He recognizes some key moments in Arizona history that most likely led to greater voter mobilization and turnout, including SB 1070, the so-called Show Me Your Papers law that sparked anti-immigrant sentiment across the state. While immigration-related issues have been top of mind for Latino voters, he adds it's important to note that this demographic is not a monolith. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Mi Familia Vota says 83% of Latinos in its Arizona survey are likely to vote in the 2022 midterms. Meantime, early voting underway in Texas, and many of the candidates on the midterm ballot still refuse to accept the 2020 presidential victory of Joe Biden over Donald Trump, which some believe could jeopardize the future of democracy.
An analysis by the Washington Post found that election deniers will be on the ballot in 48 of 50 states, including 21 candidates in Texas. Center for Election Innovation and Research founder David Becker says that could create major problems in some states.
We could be in a situation where in some areas, candidates who refuse to accept their defeat no longer exhaust their legal remedies and then ultimately concede, but instead incite their supporters to violence.
Becker believes it's highly likely that many races will be so close that results will not be known on election night, and observers should know that's normal and preferable because election officials are trying to get it right, not fast. I'm Roz Brown.
The Texas Secretary of State's office reported about a third of election administrators have left their jobs in the past 2 years. Now, from the Associated Press, an armed former student broke into a St. Louis high school Monday, warning you're all going to die, before fatally shooting a teacher and a teenage girl and wounding seven others before police killed him in exchange of gunfire. This is PNS. And though its campuses have not experienced serious gun violence to date, the Cherokee Community School Board is now the second in Iowa to allow school staff members to carry guns on campus and in classrooms.
No one wants guns in school, said Superintendent Kimberly Lingenfelter, but we want bad guys with a gun even less. She described the board's approach to keeping kids safe as very measured and serious. Connie Ryan, who heads the Interfaith Alliance of Iowa, says she understands there's a public health crisis in American schools, which includes firearms, but her organization thinks adding guns to the hips of educators is a leap, not just a step, in the wrong direction.
I think it's a dangerous proposition to have staff in the hallways, on the playground, possess and carry firearms in the midst of a school day.
Ryan points out that teachers and administrators are there to educate students and should focus on moving them to safety in the event of a crisis and calling 911 rather than trying to do the work of law enforcement. I'm Mark Moran.
Food service workers and their allies are calling on the Congress to support the new Restaurant Workers Bill of Rights, a document that calls for higher wages, better working conditions, and access to health care.
The document calls on Congress to raise the federal minimum wage for tipped workers, which is $2.13 per hour and is the standard in 17 states. Dr. Seku Sebi is president and CEO of Restaurant Opportunities Centers United and Rock Action, which conducted a survey of more than 1,000 restaurant workers.
85% of them experienced wage loss. 91% received no compensation for working in hazardous conditions. 34% had no access to personal protective equipment. And 1 in 10 workers was forced to go to work while COVID positive.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
And finally, Eric Lattice tells us about 155,000 Coloradans who signed up for health insurance through Connect for Health Colorado were able to save about $900 a year, on average, through the American Rescue Plan Act tax credits.
Those credits have been extended by President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act and will be in play as open enrollment begins next week. Kevin Patterson is CEO of Colorado's Marketplace. He says competition remains strong among the state's insurers and all counties have at least one option for coverage.
So we're really excited about that, but we just want to make sure people come in and shop, look for the advanced premium tax credit that has been extended through the Inflation Reduction Act of this year in August, and make sure that they pick a plan that meets their family's needs.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. You can hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.